Hey, John, here's the title, Eternity and Eternal Things, Part 2. Well, I started this message on Sunday night and didn't get very far. And I was going to do it on Wednesday night, but we had 12 inches of snow, so that kind of put it. And I've been wanting to preach to you about Israel, and Israel's going to be my last point probably to get to it. But Isaiah 57, verse 15. I'm going to start talking about some eternal things. Eternity. We talked about eternity last Sunday night. And, you know, there's a saying, only one life, 'twill soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. That's why I don't mind emptying out my wallet, Brother Mark. I'm not working my way to heaven. I'm not buying my way to heaven. Jesus did that. But I'm going to do all I can for the cause of Christ while I'm here. And that's why I put money for missions. That's why I put, not to get brag in front of you, I do it for the cause of Christ. And God knows my heart. He does know my heart. And I never apologize promoting giving for the cause of Christ. After all, my Savior gave all so I could go to heaven. That's the least. It's our reasonable service to serve Him. Amen? Look at Isaiah chapter 57. Isaiah chapter 57, verse 15, one verse. Let's stand for reading of God's Word. Boy, I'm glad. This is a great crowd. I told Brother Dave, I said, man, look at the crowd now. We finally got to run our buses today, too. I don't know what we had in our buses, but I'm glad we got to run them. And I said, we'll do a spring campaign. And I said, we can overflow this building in the spring campaign the way it's going right now. If we can do this in the 12 inches of snow and the cold and the ice and the freezing and everything else, what can we do when the weather breaks? Amen? And notice verse 15. Does someone know how to shut that? Bill, do you know how to shut that baptistry off for me, the heater? Because I don't want that to run. Thank you, Brother Bill. It'll be warm. If we got any baptism today, that'll be warm enough for them. Rick, it's good to see you, buddy. I've missed you. I'm glad you're here. Amen. Look at that verse 15. Thank you. What a tremendous verse. For thus saith the, are you in Isaiah 57, verse 15? For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity. God, our creator, he inhabiteth in eternity, whose name is holy. Now, when I say God, we're talking about Jesus, because Jesus and God are the same. They're one. Amen? I dwell in the high and holy place with him also, that is of a contrite. You want him to dwell with you? Have a contrite and humble spirit to revive the spirit of humble, to revive the heart of the contrite ones. Heavenly Father, I really believe you gave me this message. And Lord, I pray that you help me to be a blessing to everyone here today. Help us to think about eternity. Help us to get our minds off the things of the world, even the football game. Lord, we get so caught up with all these worldly things, but God, now it's time to hear from heaven. Help us to set our affections on things above, not on things on the earth. And help us, Father, to desire to the sincere milk of the Word and get in the Word and grow in grace. Help us, Father, to learn more of you today and to want more of you. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Last Sunday night, I used this text verse to start preaching. We preached about the greatness of our eternal God. We have a great God. And get the message from last Sunday night, and you can hear some of the things we talked about, how God was so great. And that verse 57:15, though, one that, for thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity. Did you see that? That verse tells us our great God and Creator, He inhabiteth eternity. In other words, He dwells and ever lives in eternity. We live in time. God's eternal. Psalms, I read to you Sunday night, Psalms chapter 90, verse 1. The Lord has been our dwelling place in all generations. Verse 2 says in Psalms 90, and He's from everlasting to everlasting, thou from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. And we just talked, Brother Kenny, about the bigness and the greatness of our God Sunday night. And we found out that God always was. There was never a time that God was not. See, we have a beginning, but God never. Doesn't that blow your mind?
Yeah.
That does not compute. See, His way, the Bible says in Isaiah, His ways are above our ways. His thoughts. See, the world tries to be scientific and try to put God in a little time tube capsule and examine. You aren't going to examine God. Scripture says that eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, and nothing's entered the heart of man which God has prepared for them. Heaven's so tremendous. Katie, heaven's so great. John, heaven is out of this world, and it's beyond. It is beyond our imagination. It's beyond our descriptive words. Kenny, heaven's so profound, preacher cannot give you words to describe how great it is. When Paul, the Apostle Paul in the book of Corinthians, he was taken up into the third heaven, and he said, words unspeakable. You know, I'm going to tell you right now, heaven and God is so beyond our imagination, it's going to be, you kids want to trip out when you get to heaven. Then you'll be on a real high. Amen? Notice, we found out that there never was a time that God was not. Our God is eternal God. Our God's an everlasting God. Today I want to share a few things that are eternal and everlasting. And the first one, we said that there always be, God will always be. He always was. He always was in the past. He always will be in the future. I used to get a kick out of Madeline Mary O'Hara. Yeah. She says, I wish God would die. You know, it's amazing. They say that the atheist says there's no God, but they're always trying to deny that He's there. If he's not there, why are they trying to deny it? But I also know D of the Colossians 1:16 says, by Him all things consist. If God would ever cease to exist, listen to this preacher. By Him all things consist. If God would ever cease to be, everything would be gone, including you and I. Madeline Mary Harrell must is she still alive? Or she's in hell now then. Okay. Unless she got saved.
Her son
got saved.
Got saved.
Yeah, I heard about that. But for eternity now she'll be in the devil's hell. Because she didn't believe in the eternal God that loved her. But today I want to share some things about eternity and eternal things. I told you Sunday night, we talked about our God is eternal. He always will be. I gave you a little truth because there was a few minutes left. I just threw the rainbow in. It was a filler at the end, so I couldn't go into my... But the rainbow, I showed you over there how God gave Noah in Genesis chapter 9. And the people, after He flooded the world, He gave them a rainbow. And every time you see a storm, there's always a rainbow after it. How many have ever seen a rainbow? That every time you see a rainbow, it's the presence of God. It says that God's still alive because He said, I put the bowl in the sky for you. And then I showed the people in Revelation chapter 4, if you read verses 1 through 3, especially verse 3, it says we're in heaven and there's a rainbow in heaven. Only it's emerald, and that means it's like greenish. And so, Kenny, in this life, we have a rainbow. But even when we get to heaven, it's a different color, but God's got a rainbow. So the rainbow is going to be forever. Amen? It's a promise from God. Then number 3, our King James Bible is eternal.
Amen.
It's everlasting. By the way, it was there when God was. Go back as far as you want. I want you to look at one scripture with me. Look at Psalms Psalms chapter 12. Now, Psalms is right in front of Job. If you're looking for a job, you know, Job. Psalms 12. I thank God for this Bible. Psalms chapter 12, look at verse 6 and 7. Psalms chapter 12, verse 6 and 7. We're talking about things that are eternal. The words of the Lord, what are they? They're pure words. As silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times, and God's number is seven. Seven's God's perfect number. Look at verse 7. That's amazing, Brother David. It's verse 7 that we're using also.
Amen.
Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Who's keeping them? God. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever.
Amen.
Let me quote to you Psalms 119, verse 89. Forever. How long is forever? Is that like everlasting? Is that like eternity? Psalms 119, 89. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Listen, you got a Bible here that's eternal. Look up here. You got to get this. When you hear someone say, in the original, those people don't know what the original really were. See, look up here. Before earth was made, before man was made by God, created, are you with me? The Bible was with the Word of God was with God. See, look up here. You got to get this. God's Word always was. Get this statement. God's Word will always be. When you read back in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 and 19 and 20, right down through there, it says that holy men, well, let's look at it. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20 and 21. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20 and 21. This is going to blow some of your minds. Knowing this first, you need to know something. I'm in near the back of your Bible, New Testament. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20. God always wants us to know things, Brother Mark. He doesn't want us to be illiterate. He wants us to know things. Knowing this first. You know, it's amazing. Kids know more about the statistics of football and baseball players and basketball players, and they can't even quote a Bible verse. You know what? I'd rather have all kinds of scripture in my heart and don't know who even plays on the basketball team. See, we put our priorities in the wrong place. The world's going to pass away, but His Word's never going to pass away. Matthew chapter 24. Are you with me? Notice, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. No, not when you got the one from Antioch, it isn't. For the prophecy came not in the old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Rosie's our secretary. Rosie's my secretary. I dictate to Rosie, take this letter, dear sir. And so she writes it down. That's what God did to these men of old, Brother Kenny. The Holy Spirit spoke to them, and they said, write these things down. And they wrote it down. Now watch this, Eddie. People think when those men wrote those parchments down, the Word of God, are you with me? They say those were the originals. Those were not the originals. Those were copies. Because the original is in heaven.
Amen.
So when these guys are going to say, well, in the originals it says this. Really? You're getting what I want you to get. When people try, well, I'll put it in the kid I am off the street. When a guy comes up to you and say, in the original is this, the original is that, they're just trying to walk the dog. They're trying to think that they're smarter than you. Well, they don't know, so I'll just put on the dog and act like I'm really smart, and I'll show them what they need, and I'll tell them what they don't know and what they need to know. Hello? Let me tell you something. God's Bible, this Bible you got is eternal. Now, God gave us this Bible, the King James Bible, in the English language. He can have it in other languages, which is not called King James. See, there are two streams of the Bible. Pastor Dave, I'll tell you, you need to preach that message that you taught. That Bible class teaching on the King James Bible, on the Antioch and Alexandria. There's two, all your Bibles that are printed come from two bloodlines, Antioch and Alexander. If you got some from Alexander, like the NIVKEYMOUSC, you got the wrong one. But see, this Bible came from Antioch. This is a Textus Receptus. Are you with me? And this is what God wrote. God wrote a Bible. It's still here today. It's perfect. Listen, you've got a perfect Bible. It's preserved. You've got God's promises on it. But what I want you, this Bible's eternal. See, it's just not going to last now. First of all, before we got it, it always was.
Amen.
It was eternal with God in the heavens. Come here with me.
Amen.
When did the Bible start? It always was. In the beginning was the Word. And I know it refers also to Jesus, but you can't always separate Jesus and the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. That's over in John chapter 1. And it's talking about Jesus being the Creator. And then it went on verse 14, and the Word became flesh. But let me tell you something. God brought down His Word to us. But this word, this is just a copy. And when someone says to you, man, I want to show you the original, I'm going to say, wow, you're about to go to heaven to show me that. They're charlatans. And they want to deceive you, or maybe they're just deceived themselves. But in most cases, they have money in the back of their brain. That's why they write all those Bibles. Did you know this? All the Bibles are copyrighted, but not this one.
Amen.
You can print the King James Bible all you want. I better stop there. What I'm trying to tell you is, kind of like that Catholic priest that Brother Dave was talking about, told that lady she didn't give him $10,000 for her baby to go to heaven. That's horrible. Get in the Bible and read the scriptures. John 5:39 says, search the scriptures. Get in this Bible. It's eternal. Jesus said, search the scriptures. For in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. Jesus said, if you read this Bible, it'll tell you about me. Him, Jesus, not me. Jesus.
Amen.
The trouble is, Brother Mark, most people don't read this eternal word. I kissed it this morning. I was so excited looking. I was telling Brother Phil Howard he had some questions for me from a lady on visitation. I was giving some. I got so excited about it, brother. I said, "It's so wonderful, isn't it?
Amen.
We're good. It's going to be there when we get to heaven, Brother Billy. We're never going to be without it."
Amen.
So God's eternal.
Amen.
His word's eternal. Amen. The rainbow's eternal too, and all man has. From the very first, from 2 Peter 1:20, all we had was those were first copies. But they weren't originals. Hello? So if anyone says, in the originals, you tell that person, first of all, pal, you've never seen it either, so don't tell me what you know. Because the originals are in heaven, and they always will be, and they have been. All we've got is copies. Even the very first parchments were copies.
Right.
Isn't that pretty good?
Amen.
Listen, these words of the King James Bible that you have in English, I want you to know something. We're talking about things of eternity. They're eternal. These words are eternal. You will always have them. Isn't that exciting?
Yeah.
Why is that so important for Natalie to know that these are eternal? Because they're just like the God that she has faith in. He's eternal. And Natty, you can trust these words.
Yes.
Because God is behind them. Titus 1:2 says, in hope of eternal life. Everybody wants eternal life. In hope of eternal life, which God had promised before the world began. Amen? You want eternal life? Search the scriptures. Find Christ. Because in him lies the everlasting life. It's not a Baptist church, not a Methodist church, not a Catholic church. No church gets you to heaven. It's only Jesus Christ. And by the way, Jesus said, I and my Father are one. So Jesus is God. That's why when he told the people, before Abraham was, John 8, verse 58, he said, before Abraham was, I am. He was saying, I am God. And they took up stones and they tried to kill him because they knew exactly, those Jewish people knew exactly. He was saying, I'm God. Hello. You're looking at him. Over in the Gospel of John, Philip says, how can we know? Show us God and suffice us. John 14, right around verse 8. I don't have it right in front of me right now. It's in that area. And Jesus said, have I been with you so long you don't know? Hello? I'm going to tell you right now, when you get Jesus in your heart, you'll get God in your heart.
Yeah.
I know he's the Son of God, but yet he's God in the flesh.
Yeah.
To wit that God was in Christ, reconciling us unto himself. Are you with me?
Yeah.
So, number three, we have an eternal Bible. By the way, the question is this. How do we treat this eternal word? How do you treat this eternal word, the word that God's given to you? Do you treat it with respect? Do you speak with love? Do you read it? Do you study it? Or do you throw it down? Do you put all kinds of stuff on top of it? I'll tell you right now, I don't like to lay anything on my Bible. I know little Emmy and Leo, they talked to me. I said, you ain't kidding? I feel the same way. This Bible is eternal. This Bible deserves your respect. This Bible deserves our attention. This Bible deserves our time in reading it. The reason we're so shallow Christians, we never read it. In the world, Brother Phil was talking to a lady that visited our church, but she listened to some moron over there in Akron on the TV that said if she smoked, she'd go to hell. And I said, what? I said, Brother Phil, you go back and tell her that's not true. He did tell her that too, by the way. And I said, when Jesus died on the cross, he died for all the sins of the world. He not only died for my past sins, he's already died. I know I'm going to sin tomorrow. I'll probably mess up. It's already been underneath the blood.
Yes.
See, what sends people to hell is not your sins. Christ already died for all them. The sin that sends people to hell is the sin of unbelief. That's why Jesus says, but as many as received him, to them, John 1:12, but as many as received him, to them he gave the power to become the sons of God. Even to them that believe on him.
Amen.
The Bible says in Timothy, he's the Savior of the whole world, especially to them that believe.
Yes.
See, he's the Savior for all people. But it doesn't do you no good to have him as a Savior until you receive him, until you accept him. Are you with me? And so we have an eternal Bible. Do we obey it? Do we respect it? Do we study it? Do we love it? We ought to. Amen? Then let me give you one more. By the way, there's all kinds of, I don't know, I might even have a part three for Wednesday or so. We'll see. I'll see how I feel about it. Because I'm not even going to get done with this one, part two. Number four. Number one, we had God's eternal. Number two, we know the rainbow's eternal. Number three, we know God's word's eternal. Amen?
Amen.
Number four, the Jewish nation of Israel is eternal.
Amen.
And Israel's going to be an everlasting nation.
Amen.
and the people, an everlasting people. Although Satan and many people in the world despise and hate Israel, they will learn in the end that they can never destroy Israel, because Israel is going to last forever. The nation of Israel is going to suffer loss? Yes, and they have one in the past. By the way, I looked up on the computer. I printed out some things. And it was a 2006 rendering. It said that there's approximately 5.5 million Jews in Israel. And approximately there's about 5.5 million Jews in America. And then they have a breakdown of all the different countries, and I've got it here. I'm not going to read them all, but in Israel, 5,313,800. United States, 5,275,000. France, 491,000. Why would they want to be in France?
You know, the Jews are everywhere.
I know. That's the last place I'd want to be. United Kingdom, 297,000. Canada, 370. Russia, there's quite a few. 228,000. It goes on. But approximately, if you go through, look up here. This is really interesting. There's approximately 12 million Jews in all the world. Approximately 6 million over in Israel and 6 million scattered throughout the world. Most of, 80% of the Jewish people, though, are either in Israel or America. Interesting. Israel's around 12 million. I'll give you 12 million. The population for the state of Ohio is 11.5 million. So if you, like, there's just our one state in the United States, Ohio, we have about 11.5 million people. You got a million people down there in Columbus just alone. Go Bucks. 11 million people. 11.5 million people. Approximately, you say, how many Jewish people would there be in the world? Well, if you could think about all the people in the state of Ohio, that's how many Jewish people are in the entire world. And America's got about 300 million people total for the whole 50 states. Now listen, think about Israel. I want you to think about it. I'm going to read you some scripture in just a minute. They're going to suffer loss, and they have suffered loss in the past. Hitler killed millions of them in the Holocaust. Yes, he did, Brother David. It breaks my, and I've seen video on it. Every time I see it, I cry. I don't know how anybody could do that. What was prompting Hitler? Satan. Satan gets into people. You say, how could someone do something that hideous and horrendous? The powers of Satan. Israel's sealed by God forever, though. They will be hated, yes. They will be attacked, yes. Matter of fact, Ezekiel 38 says Russia's going to come. And they're going to, by the way, during the trib. Hey, but we're going to be looking from heaven by that time. But they're going to go through 7 years of tribulation. Yes, they are. But at the end of that tribulation, Brother David, now I know you're a converted Jew, but Brother David, Israel as a nation at the end of those is going to literally receive their Messiah. The nation of Israel is going to put their faith in Christ, the Messiah, at the end of the 7 year tribulation. So they're going to go through that 7 year tribulation. They're going to go through the 1,000 year millennium kingdom with Christ. And you say, well, then that's it, right? Oh, no. I told you Jerusalem and Israel is an everlasting nation. And they're an everlasting people. And by the way, the reason God has blessed America, let's look up here. You got to get this. You got to get this deep in your soul and spirit. Amen. I believe we have the greatest country in the world. Amen. But America is not great because of America. Right. America is great because of God. Three great things that God founded on this nation. First of all, we preach the gospel. He's blessed it because we preach it. He blessed it. He blessed America because we sent more missionaries and printed the word of God over all the whole world. No one's ever got the word out like America. And America has always stood with Israel. And that's why God has blessed America, because we've propagated the gospel and we've stood with the nation of Israel. And if we ever turn our back, and we've already turned our back on God, we've already turned our back on the Bible. We're not hardly sending any more missionaries anymore. Hello? The churches are drying up because they don't have no truth in them. I got down. We had a great day with John and Betty yesterday. It was up in Garrett's for the couple. Just an adorable couple. We just love them to death. She makes a good apple pie too, boy. Her and Barb Brummett, they sit right by. The apple pie grills, right? The lady right behind you, Betty's phenomenal too, Barb Brummett. She had a great apple pie there. And Barbie's got a great apple pie too, I'm going to tell you right now. But I told him, I said, we prayed for our country. I prayed for God to have mercy on America. God needs to have mercy because we're so wicked. We need to fall on our knees and say, God, please forgive us. And I hope Mr. Obama does not turn his back on the nation of Israel. And the chances are, if he's going to be the president, I don't know when the rapture is going to happen. But in a few weeks, I'm going to preach about it. It's closer. I've got a message I've been working on. It's closer than you think. I'm going to knock your socks off in a week or two. I'm going to give you some stuff that'll make your eyebrows go up. We're closer to the Jesus coming back than you think we are. I'm waiting for God to let me do it. But eventually America will turn their back on Israel right before the rapture. And I think we're so close. I just pray that America, I just hope America would stay behind Israel to the rapture. Because I really think that's the only thing holding back is God's judgment. A nation that promotes killing babies? Nancy Pelosi, the idiot up there? That woman's a complete moron. That's the best I can say about that poor lady. She thinks it's good to kill babies so it would help our unemployment. I'll be honest with you, folks. Brother Bud, that whole bunch, I don't care if they're Democrats or Republicans, they got their heads on backwards. I don't even know if they got them on, Bud. We're in trouble. If we don't get this country and our leaders of our country back doing what we're supposed to be doing, we're in trouble. But the Christian isn't. I'm going with the upper taker. Now I got to get this done before the time runs out. There will be a part 3, John, I guarantee you. Yes, Israel will go through that 7-year tribulation. By the way, you will too if you're not saved. The trouble is with you. If you know you're not saved, you don't get saved. You that are adults that understand the truth, you get left behind, you're going to get the mark of the beast. You're going to be damned forever. Because the Bible says in Thessalonians, they had the truth, but they didn't receive the truth. They're damned. I can prove it in scriptures. So I have people who tell me, Brother Tim had a guy tell me years ago, well, after the rapture happens, I'll get saved. And I said, no, you won't. You're going to believe a lie. You're not saved here today. You better get saved today because it can happen any minute. But the nation of Israel is going to go through the 7-year trib, which is coming up as soon as we get out of here in the rapture. The calling up the Bible talks about. Yes, they're going to go through. And then David, at the end of that 7 years, the Messiah is going to come back on a white horse. And they're going to take, he's going to come right into Jerusalem. We're going to read that in just a few minutes. And they're going to take him as their Messiah. And then he's going to set up a 1,000-year kingdom reign. By the way, we'll be back with him too. Jimmy, we'll be there. You and Kathy, we'll have our glorified bodies. But the Jews are going to be in their natural bodies. Oh, boy. They're going to... Yes. We win! Yeah! And yes, even after the 1,000-year millennium, the kingdom age, you can read about that in Revelation chapter 20. that are going to enter into God's eternal heaven. The nation of Israel is an everlasting nation. Israel is the apple of God's eye. Israel is eternal, is an eternal people. Now, just for fun, I want you to see some scripture with me. God has made an eternal covenant with Israel. By the way, there's hundreds of scriptures. I knew I'd be running out of time, so I just put a few down. But would you have fun with me and just turn with me? Go to I got them right in order. Go to the book of Genesis. And then I'll close on this one. Boy, it's too bad. I got a lot of good ones coming up. Genesis chapter 12. He made a covenant with Abraham. Abraham's the father of Israel. Abraham begot Isaac. Isaac begot Jacob. And Jacob had the 12 sons, which we call now the 12 tribes of Israel. Are you with me? Look at Genesis chapter 12, verse 1 through 3. Now the Lord had said, because he talked to him back in chapter 11, unto Abram, get thee out of thy country. Isn't it amazing we don't move when God first tells us? The animals obey him. Everything obeys him but man. Get thee out of my country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee, and I will make thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing, and they are.
Amen.
There's thousands of Jews in New York. New York's one of the largest cities in the world, and the Jews brought that blessing to them. And I will bless them. And by the way, I'm not Jewish blood as far, but I'm in Abraham's seed because I've trusted Christ. An heir to the promise. And I will bless, look at verse 3. I will bless them and curse him that curses thee. And thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. The Jews are not a curse, they're a blessing. Don't look down on the Jewish people, they're a blessing sent from God. By the way, they gave you your Bible. The Bible was written over 1,500 years by 40 authors, Jewish authors. Yep, and you are. So Zechariah, and I'm going to read it to you in a minute. They gave you Messiah. They gave you everything. You ought to thank God for the Jewish people. Anyone hates a Jew, they ain't got their head on right. You say, I wouldn't say that. Well, you don't have to, but I will. People that hate the Jews don't understand. You ought to love the Jewish people. Look at Genesis 17:19 of Genesis. I've got to really put it on. Wow. Man. 17:19. And God said unto Sarah, thy wife shall bear thee a son. Indeed, and thou shalt call his name Isaac. I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant, and with his seed after him. God said, I'm telling you right now, I love them little Jewish people, and I'm making an everlasting covenant with them.
Amen.
You can get mad all you want. They're the apple of God's eye.
Amen.
By the way, now, they got to be saved just like you and I. A Jewish person don't go to heaven unless they get born again. But God loves the Jewish people. Are you still with me? Does he love you? Yes, he loves you also, of course. But there's a special love. Look at Psalms 41. I got to do this real quick. What I'm going to do is just quote you, and I'm going to start reading them real quick. I might have to quote some of them. Psalms 41, 13. Because I really wanted to show you a couple of them there. Psalms 41, 13. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel. Why didn't he say America? Because I'm going to tell you right now, you don't even hear about, when we get to heaven, America is not going to be mentioned. Because, see, Americans become, those that get saved, they become saints, Christians. The only country that's going to matter in eternity is Israel.
Amen.
And Jerusalem, the city. Hello. Blessed be the name God of, boy, I wish Mr. Obama could hear this message. Blessed be the, or anyone that's in office, not just Mr. Obama, but all of them. Blessed be the name of the Lord God our of Israel from everlasting to everlasting. Wow. We're talking about eternity. Look at Psalms 105. This is really good. Look at Psalms 105, verse 6 through 10. Man, can I get this done? Psalms 105, verse 6. O ye seed of Abraham. David's really loving this today. He's the seed of Abraham. But so are we, David, because we're a spiritual seed. If you be of faith. Yep, you're right. We are grafted in. That's why Gentiles don't get high-minded. We're lucky to be in. If the Jewish people wouldn't have denied Christ, he came unto his own received him not. John 1:11. Then verse 12 says, but as many as received him, then he opened up all the people. If they would have took him right then, the Gentiles wouldn't even have a chance. Even when Jesus sent the disciples out at first, I can show you in Scripture, he said, go only to the house of Israel. Right. Oh, you don't like that kind of preaching, do you? See, the Greeks seek after, the Jews require a sign, but the Greeks seek after wisdom. Colossians 1:22. O ye seed of Abraham, his servant of ye children of Jacob, his chosen. He is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. He has remembered his covenant, the covenant I read to you back in Genesis. Forever, the word which he commanded to 1,000 generations. In other words, it never ends. Which covenant he made with Abraham, his oath unto Isaac, and confirm the same unto Jacob for a law, and to Israel for what? An everlasting covenant. We're talking about things that are eternal. We're talking about everlasting things. I told you God's everlasting. I told you the Bible's everlasting. The rainbow's everlasting. And the Jewish nation is everlasting. As much as people want to wipe them out, they never will. Because they're going to be here when the other ones aren't. Isn't that good? Let me just give you, it's 2 minutes to 12. I'm going to give you a couple more scriptures and I'll close. I have, by the way, I have a lot of them. In Isaiah chapter 40. I just like this scripture. It was one of my, when I went to Bible college, I loved this scripture. God says this to comfort Israel. Comfort ye my people. He's talking about Israel. Saith your God. God's talking to Israel, his people. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished. This is a kingdom message, David. One day God's going to say to the people, all right, you've been through everything. Now I'm going to take care of you. It's all over now. You ever have somebody get hurt? Pat them on. So, okay, it's going to be all right now. God's going to come down and say, okay, all right, Israel. It's going to be all right now. Comfort ye, comfort, and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished. It's all over now. That her iniquity is pardoned, for she received the Lord's hand double for her sins. Yeah, she got judged. God judges sin. Look at Isaiah chapter 65. Look at verse 17. For behold, I create a new heaven, new earth, and the former things shall not be remembered. This is talking about, you're talking about eternity now coming up. But be glad and rejoice that which I create. For behold, I create. Who's he creating? Jerusalem. Rejoicing. And her people a joy. How many see that? Look at verse 19. And I will rejoice in where? and in my people. And the voice of the weeping shall be no more heard. And the voice of crying. Can anyone say amen? Amen. I wish I had more time. Look at Isaiah 66. Because I want you to see some last scriptures in Zechariah. But Isaiah 66. Look at verse 20. Oh, I could go on forever. Verse 20. It says, And they shall bring you all, brethren, of offering unto the Lord out of all nations upon the horses and their chariots. Kingdom age. Upon mules, upon the swift beasts, and to my holy mountain. Holy mountain, where's it at?
Jerusalem.
It's not New York, is it?
No.
It's not Brussels, Belgium, is it? It's not Rome, is it?
No.
It's Jerusalem. How many see that? And look at verse 22. For as the new heavens and the new earth which I make shall remain before me, saith the Lord, so shall your seed and your name remain. No, that's not all, folks. It's never going to end.
Amen.
I don't have time, but Isaiah chapter 9, it says, in verse 6, it says, His name is Wonderful, Mighty Counselor, Everlasting Father. But the next verse says, His kingdom shall not end. You know what? It's with the Jewish people. We're going to have glorified bodies. Okay, can you got time for me to give you two more verses? I'm going to give it to you anyways. Just turn to in the back of your Old Testament, not before you get to Matthew, before you get to Malachi, turn to the book of Zechariah. You go past Micah, go past Nahum, go back Zechariah. That's what I want, Zechariah. Whoa, horsey. Real quickly, I'm going to read them to you. For thus saith the Lord, I'm in 2:8. Here you go, David. Here's your apple of the eye. Zechariah 2:8. I got more scriptures in Zechariah, so don't close it. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, after the glory hath he sent me unto the nations which spoiled you. For he that touches Israel, touches the apple of his eye. What you can put out there is this, Brother Mike. Don't mess with Israel. Isn't it amazing? They only have 6 million people over there in that little tiny nation, on that little tiny piece of land. And the world tries to destroy them, but they can't. Why can't the world, with all their billions of people, wipe out a little country that has only 6 million? We got more Ohio than they got in Israel. I know there's 12 million Jews worldwide, but in Israel, David, you only got 6 million. And yet the world can't destroy them. Amen. They want to. Wonder why? I'll tell you why. The everlasting God protects them. Let me give you these two more verses. Well, a couple more verses. Let me give you Zechariah 13:8. Well, look at 13:6. And one shall, these are all passages of the end when they receive Christ as their Savior. One shall say unto him, what are these wounds? Are you in 13:6? Did you notice they're not scars, they're wounds. Jesus, the blood, you're always going to see the blood. Katie, when we see our Savior, we will see blood, wounds, not scars. Throughout all eternity, Brother Bill, we're going to see our Savior and we're going to be reminded of Calvary. We're going to be reminded of the blood that was shed for us. Throughout all eternity, our Savior is going to carry the wounds of Calvary. Think about that. Amen? Everlasting wounds. That's another thing you could put down. In thine hands. Then he answered, those which I was wounded in the house of my friends. Look at Zechariah chapter 14. This is so exciting. Oh, man. I'm going to take 5 more minutes. I know I'm running over. Behold, look at 14:1. Behold, the day of the Lord cometh, and thy spoil shall be divided in the midst of the earth, of thee. This is when Jesus comes back. This is the revelation, Bobby. This is you can find this in Revelation chapter 19. It's where he's coming down. And we're coming with him, we that are saved. For I will gather all nations against Jerusalem. That's called Armageddon. Revelation 16:16. They're gathered together and called a place called Armageddon. To battle, and the city shall be taken, and the women and the houses rifled, and the women ravaged. Half of the city shall go forth into captivity, and the residue of the people shall not be cut off from the city. Then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations. He's going to put a hurt on them. He's going to whoop them. Look at verse 4. His feet, the feet of Christ, shall stand in the day upon the Mount of Olives. He's not over at the Vatican, is he, Carl? He's not in Rome. No, he's in his blessed land that he loves. He's in Israel. He's in the city of God, Jerusalem. We sing, Jerusalem, Jerusalem. Yes, and yes, Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east, and the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the, towards the east and the west. There's going to be a great earthquake, I'm telling you. The earth's going to open up, and he's coming back. I got to stop, but all I want you to know is, what city is he going to be in? Okay. So in the tribulation, he's focusing on Jerusalem. Now, in the millennium, he is focusing on Jerusalem. If you'll look at one last scripture, and I'll quote the rest. By the way, if you could read all Zechariah 14, your toes will twinkle. I don't have time. I've run out of time. I'm on extra time now. I'm glad I'm not one of those coin operators. I just shut off. You'd like to coin operate me. Look at Revelation chapter 21. I'll quit here. I will. I'm really close now. It's so exciting. Folks, don't you get it? We're actually seeing this happen. We didn't live in the days of Jesus, but we're living in the days right before he comes back. I can see it. I've read the back of the book. So, is he with Jerusalem right now? Yes. Will he be in the during the trip? Yes. Will he be in the millennium? Yes. Now watch this. Now we go to Revelation 21:1. God makes a new heaven and a new earth. I wonder if his focus will be off of Jerusalem. I saw a new heaven, new earth. First heaven, first earth were passed away. There was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, and it's not in Rome. Right. Sorry. Sorry, Pope. I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming. By the way, it's not a Baptist city either. It's not any church city. I, John, saw holy city, new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. I'm going to tell you right now, Jerusalem and God's is the Jerusalem, the nation Israel, is an everlasting kingdom. Amen. And the people are an everlasting people. I wish I had more time. I'll quote the scripture to you. Psalms 122:6 says this, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. They shall prosper that love thee. By the way, do you love God? Do you love Jerusalem? Do you love the Jewish people? Do you love Israel? You should. I wish I had more time to preach to you. That's some things that are eternal. I'll give you this last thought in my close. In Matthew 16:8, Jesus said, what would a profit of man be gain the whole world and lose his only soul? And what would you give in exchange for your soul? The Bible says that the soul of a man's priceless. And by the way, his soul's eternal. The Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground, breathed in his nostrils the breath of life. Man became a living soul. That's Genesis 2:7. There was a time that you did not exist, but there'll never be a time that you cease to exist. Death is only a gateway to eternity. And what you do with Jesus Christ determines your eternity. See, when you were born, you were made a living soul. Every one of you, myself, are going to live forever. And that's why Christ said it was so important. That's why Christ came to Calvary and died for our sins. He wanted to redeem our soul. Yep. Timothy says he redeemed us. There's one God, one man between man and God, the man Christ Jesus, who he's our mediator. Are you with me? Jesus bought us back so we could go to heaven. That's how important your eternal soul is. Not religion. Don't get religion. It'll send you to hell. Embrace Christ, the Son of God. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, I know that God's eternal. I know the rainbow's eternal. I know the Bible's eternal. I know the nation of Israel is going to be eternal. It's an everlasting nation. I know our soul's eternal. And I know the gift of God, salvation, is eternal. You tell me in John, my sheep hear my voice, and I give them eternal life. John 10:28. And they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. And Lord, today I think as we pray, I pray people think about eternity. Lord, we're so caught up in time, we lose sight the importance of eternity. We're here just but for a vapor. But we have all eternity ahead of us. You think we would focus more on the eternal and less on the temporal. But in all honesty, and this preacher included many times, we focus more on the temporal, this life, than we ever do think about eternity, where we're going to spend ages on ages and ages, never ending. I pray today, Father, there's people here that's never been saved. I pray they'll think about eternal things today. Pray that they'll ask Christ to save their soul and get eternal life from Him. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, how many could say, preacher, I know for sure there was a day in my life I knew for sure that I was going to die and go to hell, and I've asked Christ to save me. I know if I die, I'd go to heaven. I've made Christ my Savior. Could you raise that hand? Not talking about church membership, not talking about baptism. I'm talking about, have you personally asked Christ into your heart? Have you embraced Him as your Savior? Thank you, may put Him down. Is there anyone that say, preacher, I'll be honest with you, I'm not sure. I'm not sure. I'm really not sure if I died, I'd go to heaven, and I don't want to go to hell. Pastor, I don't want to die and go to hell. I'm not really sure, and I'd like to be sure. Would you pray for me? Just raise that hand. I'll pray for you. Anyone like that won't save you, but I'll pray. Let me know that you're sincere and God work in your heart. Anyone like that at all? Pray for me. Just raise your hand. Put it back down. Anyone at all? Pastor, I'm not sure I'm saved. Christian, love Israel. Love the people. Love Jerusalem. Love the people of God, the apple of His eye. And let's start thinking about eternity. I told the couple yesterday, we better get saved in our family. We got lost family and friends. We better get them saved because time is running out. We're running out of time. We better get our people saved that we know right now, because tomorrow might be too late. Father, I pray with all my heart that You would impress upon our hearts and our minds and in our conscience the truth about eternity. Help us to think about eternity and the God of everlasting God and all the greatness of Him and the Savior that You sent so we could spend eternity with You, Jesus Christ, the Holy One, Righteous One, perfect Lamb of God. Help us, Father. Help us to get our minds off the world and focus on You and the things to come. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Let's stand. We'll sing a verse. What page are you on, Mark? 17.